Very, very happy to have each of you with us tonight. And while you're getting settled and marking that in your Bibles, go ahead, in your songbook rather, go ahead and be turning with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. We are delighted you're here. We have guests. I think Jay's just grinning just a little bit. Now, Jay, how much older is he than you? He didn't catch that. Negative 10 years. Well, the Clements family is visiting with us, and I tell me again, from Louisiana. Bastrop, Louisiana, where he's the good preacher there. And being such a young preacher like that, you don't remember the old days when preachers did not visit other congregations very often. You know why? Because they made us preach, even if we were the visiting preacher. I cannot tell you how many times we'd be on vacation and my dad would visit with a congregation, and they'd say, "We just want Brother Bradley to come on up here and preach." So you've missed out on that. You've missed out. But that was a joy, in all seriousness. That was a joy growing up in the preacher's home. As my dad's a preacher, my granddaddy's a preacher. And we got to know brethren around the country that otherwise we would not have had the privilege of knowing. Now, I said that to say this. Having grown up around preachers, I used to brag. I started preaching full-time in 1980. And I used to brag that for 10 years, I had never missed a service. I had never missed a service in preaching due to illness. And then in April of 1990, I was diagnosed with cancer. And I began to experience what many other folks had of not being able to assemble with the Lord's people and watching television. And I had not had, well, I won't call it the privilege, I had not had the experience of watching some of the TV preachers. And I never will forget, I was laying there in the bed one day watching some TV preacher, I'll not call his name, but he actually said, and I quote, "Go to church, say your prayers, do the best you can." That's it. Go to church, say your prayers, do the best you can. Well, I submit to you tonight, please, with the help of your prayers, that our best is not good enough. I hinted at that this morning, that even on our best day, we still have fallen short. We've fallen short of God's glory. And I tell you what, we can congratulate ourselves and kind of pat ourselves on the back that we have fulfilled. We've done our religious duty. But unless, and I don't call it a religion, I call it a relationship. Unless our relationship with God is a transforming power in our lives, then it's nothing more than some of the other books you can read. You can read some good books out there on how to win friends and influence people. You can read some good books out there on the 7 habits of highly successful people. But if all we do is look at the Bible as a guide for good habits, then it's a failure. We are not commissioned to spread that religion. We are commissioned to be disciples in that relationship. Because if any old religion would have sufficed, then there would have been no need for Jesus. That's what the Hebrew writer tries to get them and us to understand. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, could never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, "Sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me." You see, if it were the case that just any old kind of religion would have done, then Judaism could have done it. It's there from Genesis all the way to Malachi. But Judaism was never designed to meet the needs of the human heart. It was never designed to solve the sin problem. Were that the case, Jesus would not have needed to have come. There would have been no need for Jesus if Judaism would have sufficed. Consequently, when the Apostle Paul comes on the scene, and he spends, and I have the older I get, the more I love the book of Ephesians, because he spent more time with those brethren than any other congregation. Brother Clemens, I'm sure you're aware, preachers kind of move from time to time. I grew up and we moved every 3, 4, or 5 years, all right? And Paul was the missionary, if you will, but he spent, and this was unheard of, he spent these years with the brethren at Ephesus. And we're going to come back to that at the end of the lesson. But in Ephesians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul settles this issue about just doing the best you can. The Apostle Paul settles this business about go to church, say your prayers, and do the best. No, look at Ephesians 2 and verse 8. Many of you could quote it from memory, where Paul says, "For by grace," there it is, "for by grace have you been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." It goes on to say in the next verse, "not of works, lest any man should boast." Now here's my point tonight. This is what I want you to take home with you. Unless our lives are renewed daily, we become nothing more than just like the Pharisees, in that we are attempting this salvation by self-effort. We're just doing the best we can, so to speak. And imagine the judgment day. Well, I don't have to, because my Jesus told me about it in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, when he said, "Not everyone who saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." And then in good rhetorical form, Jesus kind of moves over and presents the argument of the other side. Many in that day will say, "Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not do many good and wondrous works in your name?" And he said, "I will say to them, depart from me, you that work iniquity." "Whoa, whoa, whoa, wait a minute, Lord. That hurts my feelings. What do you mean, iniquity? I'm doing things in your name. I'm casting out demons. I'm doing many good and wondrous in your name. What's the problem?" "Then will I say to them, I never knew you." Why? We weren't on board with him in the beginning. We were still going through the motions to kind of do things our way. Let me suggest to you a few things. Again, teeing off of what I said this morning about ways that we have invented, so to speak, to let our light so shine. Instead of doing it his way, this is our way. What does the word zeal mean to you? You find it in the scriptures. Here's a man that works 2 days a week to support his family, and then he spends 5 days a week out here knocking doors. Well, there are religious groups where that's part of their practice. You work 2 days, you knock doors 5 days. And on the outside, make no mistake about it, I admire his zeal. But tragically, it's for a false cause. You see, a full commitment to Christ results in zeal. But zeal in and of itself is not proof of salvation. In fact, Paul kind of hints at this as well in Galatians 1 verse 14. When he says, "being more exceedingly zealous of what?" Traditions. See, being exceedingly zealous in and of itself, because in this case it was the traditions. Similar statement, Romans chapter 10, verse 2. They have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Do you mean there are people that have a zeal for God that are misguided? Well, Paul says there are. Not according to knowledge. Now, don't misunderstand. Zeal has its purpose. And there is a sense in which it's necessary, but not without a foundation of trust and faith in Jesus Christ. And so that's the first one. We try. Doing the best we can, zeal. And then here's another one that is a hot topic in the 21st century. In light of some of the things that are going and taking place politically, judiciously, and so forth. And that is morality. What's morality? I teach at Faulkner, and that's one of my test questions, is to define morality. And the GBV for that is your sense of right and wrong. Your code of conduct in terms of what's right and what's wrong. And here's a man who says, I pay my debts. I follow the golden rule. What more can I do? What else do you want? And here we go again with this self-congratulations, patting our own selves on the back over personal achievement. And in my judgment, that's more of a hindrance than a help to salvation. This is the Pharisee in the 18th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. And you remember the situation. What does he say? I thank God that I'm not like this publican. I thank God that I'm not like him. But in reality, who was closer to God? That's the point Jesus is trying to make. Dear friends, hear me tonight. Please, I beg you. Jesus Christ is Lord and Master. Those are equivalent terms, and we don't like them in the 21st century. We don't like them because, Brother Clement, I want you to take this back with you. There is a disease that is killing us. What is it, church? Meism. And we don't like the concept of the Son of God being Lord and Master. Those are very difficult terms for us to follow. And here is the self-righteous, moral man of the 21st century who in reality has no hope, just like Paul said, without hope and without God in this present world, because his life revolves strictly around himself. He is a spiritual egotist. And the opposite of that is the man of humility, the man of love, the man who, watch it now, confidently surrenders himself to the leadership of Christ. Listen to that statement. He confidently surrenders himself to the leadership of Christ. There's that trust element in faith that we so desperately need. And so, we try zeal. That doesn't work. We try morality. And here's a third one to try on. We try devotion. Learn this tonight if you didn't already know it. Strong devotion to a cause can bring a lot of positive results, even if that cause is a bad one. We're seeing that politically in this nation. We've seen it for years and years and years and years. Tragically, this is why false doctrine has spread. This is why in many cases false doctrine is spreading quicker than the truth. Because they've been more devoted to spreading it than we have in spreading the truth. They've been more devoted to the work of spreading false doctrine than we have of telling people what Jesus said. This again is nothing new. In the New Testament, the Pharisees in the day of Jesus imagined that their devotion, their zeal, their morality was on an equal basis with righteousness and was to be accepted by God. I am devoted. I am involved. I am active. Therefore, I must be saved. That's the 21st century analogy. Now, I say again, I don't want to be misunderstood. I don't ever wish for one moment to discount the need for devotion. Because devotion that springs from life in Christ is the only life worth living. But just devotion on its own, in and of itself, just won't get it. So we try zeal, we try morality, we try devotion. And here's a word you don't hear a lot in our fellowship that we throw around very often, and that's the word piety. Somebody said, Bradley, what do you mean by that? Okay, here's a guy who bows his head in prayer. Here's a guy that reveres the name of God. And that is commendable. But once again, revering the name of God in and of itself, not going to get it. For instance, how do you think the Jews preserved the copy of the old law and the prophets? Well, they had scribes. They didn't have a Xerox machine that they could go throw that thing on and they had scribes who meticulously had to transcribe over and over and over and over. And here is a Jewish scribe who is copying the law. Now, you really want some tedious reading sometime. You can start reading at Genesis, and that's pretty good, and Exodus is pretty good, but then you get to Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. Kind of drags, don't it, Brother Clement? Okay? And here's this Jewish scribe, and he is transcribing that over and over and over. And it comes across the name of God. And because of that commandment that says we're not to take his name in vain, this scribe finds it difficult. He finds it difficult to transcribe and actually write this unspeakable name. And that's why initially in the ancient Near East in those days, the name of God, the pronunciation of the name of God was lost. They did not know how to pronounce God's name because they were so afraid of using it inappropriately, taking it in vain, they quit pronouncing it. And in the Hebrew, the best we can come up is Yahweh. Hebrew does not have vowels, YHWH, are the consonants. And when you transliterate that from the Hebrew and Aramaic into German, the Germans didn't use a Y, they used a J. And then you translate that word into English and we come up with Jehovah, Yohavaveh. Why did I go through all of that? To illustrate that this concept that plagued them under the old law, same thing that happened to them can happen to us. That we find ourselves, if we're not careful, going to the other extreme and thinking that our piety, our holiness, is going to take the place of truth. And tragically, tonight, this very hour, as we speak, you can go to the city of Jerusalem. And there are Orthodox Jews who are writing little prayers, and they put them in the Wailing Wall, the last remnants of the temple. And you say, oh, that's wonderful, but I had a friend who did mission work over there, and he told me about a custom that they have that Orthodox Jews will not smoke tobacco on the Sabbath day. It's not because they are opposed to smoking, but lighting the fire is work. And that's how far we've come. That's how far we've come from what was taught under the old law, and that somehow, some way, okay, I'm pious, No, that does not take the place. Nor does devotion, nor does morality, nor does zeal. But then there's this last one. What about emotions? What about emotions? are they important? Do they factor in to any of this? See, I contend that the person, the man, a woman, a boy, or a girl that has been forgiven of their sins has every reason to be happy, has every reason to express that emotion. And I choose to believe that when you read Psalm 51 and read what David says and read about the joy of that salvation. And then you read that passage like Luke 10, verse 21, where the Bible says of Jesus, in that hour he rejoiced. Nowhere in Scripture, so far as I know, that it ever pictures Jesus as laughing. But in that passage it says, in that hour he rejoiced. Why? Because they had returned. The ones he sent out on that limited mission trip had come back with joy. Because they spoke his name and said, even the demons are subject to you. And in that hour, he rejoiced. Several years ago, I read an account of a worship service that took place over 140 years ago. Bear with me just a minute. I'd like to read some excerpts of it. It says, through the entire service, the worshipers experienced shaking more intense as special efforts were made to expel the evil spirits. Shaking was such a part of their worship that Shaker was part of their name. Norman Vincent Peale, a name that may be familiar to you, states it plainly when he says, I think it is not oversimplifying to say that there are just two kinds of religion in the world. The first is formal religion. It may be Protestant, Jew, or Catholic. Such religion may include belief in God and the church with assent to its creeds and ceremonies. And he says, and I quote, now this does make for nice, responsible, decent people who don't steal money or run off with anybody else's wife or husband. So it's good as far as it goes, but it's superficial, end quote. The other kind of religion is what we would call the religion of experience. It is where Jesus Christ, hear me, it is where Jesus Christ really takes hold of you. It's where you are thrilled by your soul or to your soul by the relationship between yourself and the divine. And through this kind of religion, you receive a power that overcomes all the frustrations and the defeats of human existence. I choose to agree with him, don't you, Brother Clinton? I choose to agree with him that yes, emotion is part of life, as is joy and hate and patriotism and on and on and on. But I say again, it has to be the result of what Jesus has done. I love it in Acts chapter 8 when that Ethiopian nobleman comes in contact with Philip. And evidently in talking about Jesus, the subject of baptism comes up. Somebody says, how do you know? Well, because the Bible says the eunuch said to him, here's water, what hinders me from being baptized? And so that had to have been in the discussion. And Philip said, you believe you may? And he says, I believe. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. The Spirit of the Lord called away Philip such that he saw him no more. But what's the rest of that passage? He went on his way rejoicing. You think when he got to where he was going, he told anybody? You think when he got to where he was going, he let them know what was going on? And so back to the two statements by Dr. Peale. You've just got a religion or you've got a relationship. Which one do you prefer tonight? More importantly, what does God prefer for you? He prefers for you to have a relationship with one who was the atonement for the sins of the world. Think about that. When he died on that cross on Calvary, every drop of his blood was shed to purchase his church. And every drop of that blood was shed so that whosoever will may come. The Spirit, they all say come. Whosoever will may come. Because there's plenty available. We are concerned tonight as we speak as to whether or not there's going to be enough of this vaccine. Whether or not we're going to be able to get to it. Whether or not we're going to be able to access it. And we're already fussing about who's the most important, who goes first. Just like within the shadow of the cross, the disciple is arguing about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. I'm so glad that when it comes to the eternal salvation that I need, in the first place, there's an endless supply. An endless supply of the blood of Jesus. I'm so glad. And then I'm glad further that it's available to anybody, whosoever will may come. And that's why if you're out of Christ tonight, we're going to be standing to sing a song to encourage you. If you need the prayers of this church, we invite you to come. While we stand, while we sing, Madeline.